Okay, 6:15, Monday, November 11th. I'm going to call the regular meeting to order. Any changes to the agenda, additions or deletions?
Maybe it's just me, but I think the order of the agenda items, I think we have a couple of G's. When I was putting this together today, I was like, oh, wait a minute.
Did you go by the email?
Yes.
Agenda? Okay, so that one had like a lot of funky stuff in it?
Yeah, because I know G had a lot.
And the one that was posted on the web, which you can hand, yeah.
Here, you want to give her?
Does she want to pack it?
Yes. Thank you. The one I have in front of me is only one G, but it sounds like there was a correction made after the fact from the e-file.
Yeah, the one in the email was like funky, but.
I've got the one in the email right now and it's fine.
Was there a lot of misspellings and stuff in it?
No. I wonder if that's a.
Is she looking at the right one?
I wonder if it's like a formatting thing between the different email clients?
I don't know.
Because it, yeah, looks fine.
And like, it's probably me. It's been a day. But I thought that there was like a couple of G's.
Okay, this one. Do you want this one?
I get this.
Here. You have the whole packet? Okay, you got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So sorry.
No, you're good. Thank you for asking. Okay, so no changes, additions, deletions. Privilege of the floor. You're on the agenda. You're up. Hi.
So I'm with Lake Region Theater, and we are hoping to use the theater and occasionally the hall as well when it's convenient for you guys for January and February.
Okay.
All of January and until February 16th, we would be cleared out.
And do you have specific dates? Because we have, oh, you have, yeah, that's right, you have that. Okay. Because we do have NKO in here. Would it be evenings or would it be?
Evenings.
Okay, so is there any conflict with evenings?
No.
And there's no conflict with the schedule upstairs?
We haven't booked anything in January, February yet.
Okay.
So.
Perfect. That's great. I would love to see you use this theater.
We are really excited. We checked it out last spring.
Yeah?
Great.
Yeah, and because you routinely, do you go to Orleans and you're just shaking it up a little bit?
Yeah, it's so I have three young kids and I like stepped away when my daughter, my youngest, was born for a while. And then my older two are at St. Paul's and they were like, we need you to come back. It's not going to happen if you don't come back. And I was like, well, I can't just do like the drive after school to get the kids from St. Paul's all the way to Orleans. And so we kind of cast around for other options. And then we looked at the space, and it's really nice.
It is
nice.
It's
a small stage, but it's nice.
It's, it's historical, and it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
I would love to see it used more. Okay, so you filled out the rental agreement, it looks like.
Yes, but we didn't. So one of the things was about the security deposit.
Okay.
We're happy to do, I think you usually do like a daily security deposit, but since it's like a month and a half, whatever makes sense for you guys.
Yeah. What do we do when St. Paul's uses it?
They only use it for one day.
And the same with Barton Graded if they have a concert and stuff?
It's just the one day. So we haven't really, I haven't been through an experience where somebody's needed it for that long.
So does that one day they pay the 50? Or do you know?
Yeah, they're the ones did, yes.
They did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, for the schools, generally we don't charge them anything. That's what we haven't
done
in the past.
Well, that's what I thought, so.
Yeah, so I just wanted to run this all by you, though, because they will be using lights and electricity. And
right. Actually, do we know if the lights and everything up there work? Have you?
Yep. Andy flipped the breakers on the other day and went up and checked them all out for me.
Perfect.
We actually have some of our own lights, too, that we would set up and use a lighting board.
Okay. Yep, this is old stuff.
Okay. Yeah, it's just look at the first page if you want, not the back sides.
I know.
It got printed double-sided.
And the wear on you know, with a lot of people, just it's a lot. And so we would, our agreement with Orleans never like had a compensation factor, but we would like to do that here to keep, you know,
mm-hmm.
for maintenance. So again, whatever you guys think.
So Orleans didn't charge? No? How many dates are we looking at? January 14th, 15th, January 2nd. Okay. I don't know. What do you think?
Make it low, you'll have a nasty headline.
I know. Well, I want to give it to them for nothing, but I also don't want to get, you know, I want to give it to them for nothing. They're a school. Mm-hmm. But.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with it at
okay.
all.
I don't think Chipper would either.
No.
Too bad he's not here if he does.
That's right.
How about 1500 as
no.
a security deposit? I mean, I'm going to have a lot of students in here. I would feel more comfortable if we, like, had something that if something gets damaged and it's a historic building, you know, that we have some money now. It's never happened at Orleans. We spilled a paint can once, and it was like, the end of the world, but we fixed
okay.
it. But I would feel happy.
Let's do a security deposit of 500, and if all goes well and nothing gets broke, you guys get it back.
And then we will give a sizable contribution.
That's totally up to you. We can put it towards our Barton Beautification Fund if they so choose to do so.
Yes.
I
and
like
I'm just
that.
Thinking if there was something in there. Also, the speed signs for the slow thing for the
mm-hmm.
school. Because that's coming
yep.
up more than we thought it was going to
yep.
be. So
yep.
if we just can kind of
contribute
work
it
to the beautification
yep.
fund and
okay.
make it a win-win for everybody,
yep.
I don't have a problem with that
I agree. Okay, so we're going to do a $500 security deposit. And then if everything goes well, you'll get it back. And then you can do whatever you'd like
Sounds
to do.
Good. The kids like to do community service, so we would like to raise money for it.
Perfect.
Great.
That's great.
Thank you. Yeah.
Sheila will talk to you after the meeting.
I'll talk to you after the meeting. I love community service.
So to make it official, I'll make a motion that we agree and sign the facility rental agreement with Lake Region Theater for use of the theater upstairs and down here January 2nd through February 16th, dates varying with performance dates happening February 13th, 14th, and 15th with a $500 security deposit. And if everything goes well, they'll get it back and then they can contribute whatever they like afterwards.
I second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
So
can I
do
ask
you?
One more question?
Yeah, absolutely.
Could we, when we get closer, could we have a key so that we can get in
yeah.
mm-hmm.
yep. 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 You'll do that through Vera in our office. So perfect. So will we, do you have an actual, do we sign this? I think we do.
Yep. You sure do. That's her.
Oh, so what's confusing is this.
Yeah, it got printed double-sided twice.
So this we don't need.
No. So anything on the back side you don't need.
Okay.
You don't need that.
Okay.
Do need that though.
All right, so. Thank you. Look forward to it. I will be attending one. I scratched it online, but.
I've got another copy, so
that's all right. I just
one.
Put it security $500, and cross that out, and then perfect. Okay, so I am signing this. I signed it. You good?
Yep.
Okay. All right. I'm excited. I'm excited to have that theater used.
Me too.
I would love to do movies or something up there again. I would.
Gina, you're not going to be 10 again, no matter what.
No. We did find old Tom and Jerry cartoons up there. But, really?
Yeah. Really?
I might not be 10, but my son is 11, my youngest, and I have grandbabies. Just saying.
And you can bring him to the movies like our parents used to bring us to the movies.
I never went to a movie there.
Oh, you did not?
I'm not that old.
I forgot.
I have been to a Maryland.
What was I thinking?
I know.
I know. There was a lot of value in it because there were big talk all the way through.
No, we didn't want to listen to the movie. We just wanted to go to it.
I remember the movie I saw.
You want to be in the balcony.
Oh, jeez. All right, moving on.
That was Ghost and Black.
What was her name?
Ghost of Black.
From Lady Regent?
Johanna.
Was it Johanna?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they both put their names in there, so.
Okay, moving on to action items. Minutes from the regular Board of Trustees meeting, October 28th, 2024. I had one possible correction that I want to open up for maybe a possible discussion because I might not be remembering it right, and we may have to go back to the recording. But on page under letter H, truck sander purchase, last paragraph, it says that I stated that we were not prepared to decide at that time to Andy's request of using the truck to travel back and forth to his home in the village garage. I believe I said no. Am I misunderstanding? Did I? Am I not?
No, you did say that. I don't think there was if it was final discussion.
I thought
that
it was.
Maybe I need to put that in there better.
I think I'd, yeah.
Okay.
Because I think the general consensus from the three of us was, you know, we thanked him and appreciated him coming and asking, but that we felt at that time that it just wasn't going to be able to happen.
Okay.
So I would request that we, if you want to listen to the minutes, I was going to do that, but of course they don't get posted till after we approve them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then clarify that for us, then that would be great. I mean, I don't know, Marilyn, do you have any
recollection? No, I think it was pretty much, I mean, I don't know how it was portrayed on the recording, but I think it was pretty much a done deal at that time, the way that I...
Jacqueline, you were here. Do you recall?
Yeah, I wrote it.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I had thought that... I guess I left feeling like there was going to be some further discussion about
it. Oh, okay.
Because there was... like, he was bringing up...
past.
Other... towns, villages that did allow their foremen to bring the truck home, and it seemed like there was some discussion that possibly was going to come from it.
Yeah.
So
I don't think we were going to discuss it. We had decided no.
Okay.
I can go back through and listen and put in some more final language.
Yeah.
If you want.
Yeah, I think it needs to happen because I just I mean it can come back to life and we can discuss it further. But I pretty sure that we were against it. Okay. So, we'll wait for those corrections and then we will discuss and final approve at our next meeting. Okay. Bills and warrants.
I have done them all and I make a motion that they get approved.
Perfect. I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And I'll come in and do payroll tomorrow because the office was closed today.
Yes.
Okay. I'll get my text reminder from Emily and I'll come down. It'll be after hours because I have to actually go to work tomorrow.
Okay. That's fine.
So they can just leave it on the back table.
The room's rearranged differently.
I saw that.
Okay. So I'll just put it next to the fridge back there.
On that table?
Yep.
Against the wall? Perfect.
Okay.
Yep. That'll work. Okay. Short-term financing for hydro projects. So, Crystal, sent this for financing of the project before we can go for the bond vote, which is in, is it February? January, February?
Yes.
Am I understanding that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
From what don't know, Amy, did you have anything to add, or Vera, or?
Just going back with the conversation that Crystal and I had was, I don't know if she was really looking at, yeah, I think she, you know, get the line of credit for $3 million, but she didn't want to pay interest on a loan for $3 million right now because it would be later
right,
getting most of the funds.
That's what I how I understood it, yeah. Too, is that once, and we can't get the money right now because it's not
happening.
I guess you can get it two times a year, mm-hmm. be it, mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure when they are. But to get a line of credit going, because some of these things that we're discussing later is the generator and these other stuff that are going to start costing us money.
Mm-hmm.
And once you, from what I understand, once you get the $3 million from the Vermont Bond Bank, you can use it as you need it, but I think you have to pay interest
yep.
on the $3
million. On the $3
million, yes. So in the interim, she has it figured out that if we kind of waited and just went with the money from the bond and started using that money, that it would cost us $45,000 a year interest. Where if we just go out and do a line of credit with Community National Bank, even though it's a higher interest rate, and it's we can borrow up to $3 million, but we're only paying interest on the amount that we actually borrow.
At that
which
time.
Is 5%.
Which mm-hmm. is 5%. So the estimated cost of what we'll probably have to use before this really gets going is $250,000. And that's what she based her 5% on. So it's quite a savings over using the money, getting the money from the bond bank, getting the $3 million and paying the interest on that. In the meantime, it just makes a lot of sense to go with the line of credit from Community National Bank until that happens.
Okay. So this is a stupid question because I don't know much or anything at all about bond bank loans and everything, that whole process that's going to happen. Is there a chance we could get denied?
I do not believe so because it's already been approved, and I think she said it here somewhere. The Public Utility Commission's approved it.
Voters approved.
As a reminder, Barton has both PUC approval and the voter approval. So once approved, as noted below, Barton will instruct Community National Bank to prepare the loan documents for approval at a future meeting.
Okay, so that's for the line of credit.
Yep.
Okay.
But for the bond bank, I'm assuming it's just if everybody's, it's not.
Yeah, the bond bank was created to borrow
do just
money
this.
For municipalities.
Right. Okay.
So as long as you've got all your local approvals and the PUC approval, pretty much done deal.
Okay.
Good to know.
Very good to know, because I was like, what if we get this line of credit? And then, I mean, I assume it's going to go through, but you know, there's always that what if.
Yep.
So, okay, yep. Thanks for clarifying. And that was Ken Nolan, so thank you, Ken, for the making me feel a little bit more comfortable about it.
I think she also stated that the SumSit
yep.
has kind of dropped the ball a little bit.
We got the notification in writing today, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's the same terms.
Same terms, but
as
community
in her memo.
Answered us first.
Yep.
Well, community is right next, so. No, the initial rate from PSUMSIC was a little higher, it says.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I meant it was the same terms in their
oh,
written letter
terms.
As
okay.
it is in this memo.
Okay, perfect.
And I know, like, sometimes you'll say, oh, well, I think the interest rates are going down. But it's this time of stuff, when you're doing banking, it takes a while for it to go down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they go by. It's like gas. As soon as it goes up, it goes up at the pump. But as soon as it goes down, you don't. It kind of trickles in that way.
Okay.
So I don't think we're going to get any better than 5% until, because we're going to need the money coming
mm-hmm.
up with the generator and all
right.
this other stuff.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. All right. I will make a motion to move forward with Community National Bank to open a line of credit in the amount not to exceed $3 million for a period not to exceed 12 months.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
hydro generator, fuel tank, and heater. What's up, Dennis?
The hole has been dug. They've looked at it. There's just a matter of getting it signed off. On the Fred's part, the 4600, they're going to put a 32K propane heater in the basement, so I don't have to lug mine over anymore. I've dug the holes and all that. So that hopefully in the next couple of weeks, that'll be done. And then as for the generator itself, MEI, I don't know if you guys know Hans.
Mm-hmm.
He said they have one in a warehouse. He doesn't, but it's in New England. So that could be pretty quick. We still have to pour a foundation for it. It's amazing how hard it is just to get a bid.
Yeah. Did you never get anything from Brookfield?
I called them twice and they never answered. Then I talked with Bob's Electric and he said no. And then I talked with the farmyard, which I know the people there pretty well. They were all set, but they think we can do two or three residentials real quick and be done with it for the, you know, it's a three-phase system, which they would have to go find somebody outside of their normal electrician to do it, and that's a problem right now for everybody. So
right.
It does seem, I've looked at the cost of the generators, they're anywhere from that size, 22 to 30 grand. The switch gear is quite expensive because it's 3 phase. So the 50 grand at first does sound like a lot, but that includes the pad. They got to run the lines, probably 100, 150 feet. So
it's total installation then.
Yeah. And the good part about Hans is he's worked up there before.
Mm-hmm.
So he's familiar with it. Yep. It would be nice to have that put before it gets cold.
Oh, but, yeah. Yep.
We've done it before.
Did we fix the leak?
Yes. Actually, it took 3 days, but the cedar finally swelled up and closed it off.
Okay.
Yeah, we had Des Moines King was up this week with the diving team, so they actually went into the dam. It was pretty neat. They could actually see the 19 or the 1895. Cement work, they could see the 1930s, they could see the 1991, they could see the 2016, all different levels, and the older stuff has held up quite well.
Good.
It will take some cement work, but nothing. We'll be able to lug some cement bags down. That's how, it's minimal, it's what we thought it could be. So it looks pretty good, actually. It looks actually better on the inside than the outside. Some of the timbers on the inside are from roughly 1895.
Wow.
They're hardwood. All that will be replaced, though, with steel, coated steel.
Okay.
For that part. They will have to beef up the base a little bit. It shouldn't be too difficult. I think Des Moines King is going to actually, an engineering firm, but they probably may do the head gate in-house, hopefully. It looks like PC, which is the old Pizza Galley, will be doing the number two gate. And the penstock will be put out. I do think we could save some money if we get some locals, like crane service and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
because the alternative will be coming from Maine or probably Massachusetts. So if we,
yeah, that's
and
good.
We do have some people with big enough cranes
yeah.
to get it done.
Clausens and...
Yeah. DeRoche.
Yep.
The other one too, and I don't know if I told you, but with the Preservation Trust,
mm-hmm.
historic, you guys are going to probably see some bills from Polly Allen, that was a historian. So instead of there'll be no overlapping because Des Moines King actually has a whole office that does stuff like that, the permitting and the FERCs and all that. She'll do the historical end of it. Because we need to, believe it or not, the penstock is on it, the substation is on it, the head gate is on it. So she will get those removed along with the fuel tank. So if Skipper's real, maybe by spring,
yeah.
they'll be ready to go.
Yeah.
And the diesels.
We can get the diesels out of
they're
there?
They're going to try to get them all at once.
Oh, please,
didn't like the idea of leaking tubes and oil and all that stuff. So, you know.
That's wonderful.
And I have to admit, mentioned to Boy and King, and we'll work with them.
Perfect.
So, yeah. So
that'll
be
a blessing if that can happen.
Yeah. And then we will be copying in FERC on everything, especially with the dam inspections and stuff like that.
Yep.
So just to keep them in the loop and hopefully they'll be nice to us.
Right.
But yeah, so far so good. So hopefully by March, April, they've already started on the head gate with designs and stuff like that. So.
Yep. Yep.
Dennis, does West Charleston have zoning at all? Do you need anything for your...
They have, I'm not sure, I'll check, but they have the least amount of zoning that I know of.
Okay.
I mean, they fight.
Next
there's
door,
none.
Ten, probably.
There's none.
Okay.
You know, most people are looking for a junkyard or something, they're moving to Charleston.
Yeah.
So okay. I'll check, though.
Just because I know with the generator, if you're doing a cement pad and stuff, I know...
You would need a permit.
You would need a permit here, but I don't know.
I can ask.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just
they
cross our...
They marked off the wetlands, too, which was good. And they're all east of the right-of-way, so that part is good. They had two guys come in, and then they did LIDAR and surveys of where the penstock is. It's rock, solid rock, 2 feet down. So I'm digging over there, and like, I'm getting nowhere. That's fine. So they're going to have to pin everything. The cement pads and all that stuff cradles right to the stone. So, what else? It's moving along. I've submitted a couple of bills from Du Bois and King, relatively small. So I'm not sure how that's going to be. How are you handling that? Just
going to keep track of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I really do think Morgan is... the guy who's in charge of PE, he's been very good, very good. And so far, so good. And it was really nice to see three young, under 30 guys work, those divers. I was impressed, really impressed. They didn't mind lugging tanks and all that. They were good. All ex-Navy guys, obviously, but pretty good. But no, it looked good, and we'll get the full report and... we'll e-file it with FERC, and it'll be good for a while. There's a couple other things, too, on the safety plan. I'm going to have to buy some buoys and some signage.
Mm-hmm.
I'll work on that this winter. I have to submit that by March. They have an emergency plan, and I don't know. I have one, but it was submitted by Gravity Renewables. So at one time... they were getting close to apparently buying that place. And they, anyway, so I gave it to FERC, and they're like, they don't care whose name on it, it works, so we should be all set. But it's quite thorough. And it was done up by Gravity Renewables. I mean, they hired a company to do it. So that part should be okay with FERC. They said they accept that, even though it doesn't say Barton Village on it. Down the road, we can Photoshop it in if you need or whatever.
And when was this all?
I don't know. That they came up 4 or 5 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, they did soil samples, they did everything. And so, anyways, there is a plan submitted for it. So FERC accepted it, so we're good on that part. But it doesn't say anything about Barton Village on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe since they have the dam on the other side of... Charleston Pond, you know, it's close enough, maybe it's good enough to go. I'm not sure.
I was just trying to find our presentation that we did with everybody to get the bond vote to go through. Mm-hmm. Was the generator part of the project?
Yes.
I thought so.
I believe so, but the questionable one was the substation because of the amount of time the transformer to get it. I don't know if hasn't been ordered yet, has it? Or is anybody looking for it? Or I thought John's going to work on that.
I would assume so.
Yeah. We did test pits over there that we dug around it just to make sure what the soils look like, and they have all the samples and stuff.
I was just looking to see if I could find it. My thing's just not working right.
Or maybe, I'm not sure actually. It was and then maybe it wasn't.
I don't think it is.
It's possible that we took it off just to get under three.
So if we, I mean, I know we have to do it, but I'm just saying, can we wouldn't be able to, if it's not part of the project, we wouldn't be able to use the line of credit for it. Right? No. Vera, do you recall?
I thought it was in there, but...
Are you looking at it right there?
I'm trying to.
I believe it was one of the original five, but it may have been taken off.
Oh, I think it was even on that one sheet you made, Gina.
I know, but penstock, head gate, penstock valve, reclosure, engineering, standby generator. It is here.
So what's 70. Part of that?
It's on our slides, yeah.
It's on the list, but I don't believe that Du Bois King has anything to do with it. You know, that was all submitted to them. And just,
okay. Yeah. But, ish. But, yeah, no, we should be all set then.
It's on there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. I just wanted to make sure, because I knew there was a I remember a vague discussion about it. So, it's definitely something we need to have. And thank you for all these years of providing your own personal generator. You went above and beyond as far as I'm concerned, and thank you. You know, given the fact that we haven't really got a lot of estimates, we worked with MEI before. They have one in stock. That's a plus, because as we know, cold weather's coming. I'd hate to put this off any longer. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts, Marilyn?
No, I think we need to move forward with this.
And I know on that slide, we estimated 70, so this is coming in 500 less. So. Okay, I'm going to make a motion to approve the quote from MEI in amount not to exceed $60,000 for the backup generator, switchgear, and installation, and the quote from Fred's Energy in amount not to exceed $5,500 for the fuel tank.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
And, you know, it's ironic, because like I thought, the fuel tank is $6,000. But if you put a heater on it, then you just pay for the heater. He did it with my neighbor, which I wasn't crazy about using, but my neighbor's 87 years old, and he wanted an emergency generator, and the tank for the generator was $6,000. And then they told him if he had put a heater in the garage for $800, it would have been $800. That's
crazy. Well, too late. We just approved it.
Yeah. No, it's fine. It'll be good, too. The current heaters I have are two little 3,000 BTU. This is 32,000. Even if, for some reason, there's no power there, it'll generate enough heat. So it'll keep us from freezing up.
Okay.
Outside of that, there will be another... I was thinking about having the number two generator cryogenically cleaned. This summer, it'd be less than $20,000, but that where they're working is the same place where the valve is going to go in, so it might not be a good idea. We might just wait a little bit later or earlier, because having them both in there at the same time is probably not a good idea.
Just throw it in, do it all in the project. Yeah. Maybe they won't catch it.
So, Dennis, if we can get rid of those four diesel generators, then our hope is to just get rid of this building that they're in?
Yes, the building is not... We have asbestos to get rid of. Okay. And I've talked with a few people on that. There's a couple alternatives, like if I go ahead and I just... It's mostly the exhaust lines. If I go ahead and cut those out and put them outside, it might be $5,000 or $10,000. But if they go in there, the ceilings above the generators have that asbestos board, every one of them, all four of them. So... Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping Kent can find a home for those generators, like send them to Ukraine or something.
Yeah. Hey, during our day with the payers, they said it could happen.
Unfortunately, they're not on skids, which is going to make it difficult. They have to come apart in pieces. Yeah, you have to take the generators off.
So we sell it to them cheaper.
Getting them out. Again, if you want to take the building down, it would probably be fairly easy with a crane. That building is horrible.
Yeah.
It's just in the way. The only thing I would ask for, if you do something down the road, leave the floor, just throw gravel on top of it. You know, we don't want to open up a can of worms. And the other thing is maybe a small 20-foot container, just to store the oils and stuff in. Yeah, I don't need much, really. That's all I need. But that whole building is really no use for it.
What else is on your list? I was being funny.
A local farmer is thinking about a big sugar bush right across in there, so he'd like power, maybe. That's just a little bit weird because that's... I'd have to ask John about something like that because it's before this substation. It'd have to come right out of the plant. So, I mean, it's very possible to do. It's just a little bit different from what the rest of it's like. So, But outside of that, I told you Julie Moore was up.
Yep.
Yeah, she was. It's very good.
Good.
Very knowledgeable about rocks. I didn't realize how knowledgeable she geologists do, I guess. Okay.
All right, so we got your generator and all of that happening, which is much needed, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't see a big cost because it's only going to run when, you know, as long as, I mean, we got power feeding back. We don't even need the gas for the heater. It's just that those days when we get a storm or down for a day or two, it's not a good situation there at all. And, the reason that we didn't have one is for all those years they had the diesels next door, which they could always fire that up. But it's been a while since they used any of those, so.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in.
Okay, so
thank you, Dennis.
Checks would be good. You gonna send it to Fred's or you?
Yeah.
You'll send them to Fred's.
Yep.
And signed. I think it's still there.
Yep.
And Hans.
Yep, they both have signature pages.
Okay.
Yep.
I'll give them the contact. Tell them it's coming and.
You signed for him. We hadn't approved him yet. Are you talking about something different?
He's talking about signing off on these proposals and then cutting checks for them.
Oh, okay.
But they won't make it on this warrant, so we can do a special warrant if you want, or they can just be paid in the next meeting.
Which is the 25th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't want to wait that long. Can you do a special warrant tomorrow, and then when I come in to sign payroll, I can sign that as well?
Yep.
So we don't hold it up for 2 more weeks?
Okay. No, that'd be great. I know Fred said they're about 10 days out, so once it's signed, there should be 10 days. I believe Hans, who's sort of planning this period anyways, it should be hopefully soon.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you want to sign these proposals?
Sure.
So, Jackie, I found your 2 G's.
I know.
Who was it?
So you have the warrant for Sheila called G.
I see. So it's not on the agenda. I got you.
I was just going to let it
right
go.
I was just looking. Agenda item G.
Did I miss a date?
Not on that one.
Or
do you want to put a date on there, though?
Sure.
What I am concerned with, so do I change this to H? The next one, the revised warrant?
This one has 2 signatures.
The memo should be changed. To H?
Yeah, it should be H.
Okay.
In the board packet. It's correct on the agenda, just not in the board packet.
Right. Okay.
Mystery solved.
I was like, God.
She's just waiting for us to catch up to it.
Yeah, I didn't notice it.
It's like, they'll find it. I'm
going to
wait.
Okay. Revised warrant to the delinquent tax collector.
Yeah, this is a revision of the one we did at the last meeting. The very next morning, somebody came in and paid off their account, so the warrant was no longer applicable. And then I also realized I didn't even include a copy of the warrant in this. It's just the information on it. So
And we'll have to sign it?
You do have to sign the warrant itself. So if you approve this, I can go around and collect signatures later, or we can just wait until the next meeting.
Or print it, and I can sign it tomorrow.
Okay.
And then, sure. Marilyn, can you stop in and sign it on your way home?
Okay. Yep. I can do that.
Thanks. So there was a there was somebody that came in and paid their bill after we had turned it over to the delinquent tax collector?
It doesn't get turned over until the next day after you sign it.
Oh, okay.
And between the time that I was able to tell Emily and Julie that morning, he had come in at probably around 8 o'clock in the morning and paid his account off. So
it's just a timing
thing. It was a timing thing.
But are we... Okay. Because otherwise, what they should have done is said, you need to pay this through Sheila.
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Emily and Julie just didn't have the information from me soon enough.
Okay. Can we give it to them ahead of time?
We can. And that's what we'll do.
So that if you're presenting something to us to approve, such as this,
mm-hmm.
they at least have it on their radar that, hey, they might have possibly approved that the last night.
And we not give it to Sheila till it's been approved. Because then we give it to Sheila.
I can still give her a heads up. And I did. I originally gave her the list because mm-hmm. the two of us went over the different people.
So she was expecting it, but then this person just came in and paid it ahead of time. Or paid it, not ahead of time, but paid it before we actually... Well,
before she received the official signed copy. So.
But we had signed it the night before, so it would make it delinquent, right? Like, is there still going to be fees associated with that account?
No,
I don't know. I wish she hadn't left.
they should have. But because of the whole timing thing.
We're going to redo it and mm-hmm. take that off.
And then we're going to we have created a process, and we're going to follow that process
mm-hmm.
forward.
Okay. I guess that's where I'm
so
going.
Because that would have been money that Sheila's missing out on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And that they didn't have to pay fees.
So lucky for them, right, in this situation. They lucked out.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So people must look at our packets online.
They do.
Right.
Because he was... He was 8 or 9 months past due, so.
Should we be waiting 8 or 9 months to put somebody in delinquent?
Well, it was, my cutoff is 6 months. That's what I choose to do because she only wants to do tax sales twice a year.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to line it up with her tax sale schedule.
Okay. All right, but you're working on a process, it sounds mm-hmm. like. Cool.
Yeah, we'll just make sure that everybody who's going to be notified on this gets notified before you even sign it. So that way everyone knows.
Okay. Makes sense. Okay. Thank you. All right. So this is correct now, this listing here.
Yes.
And this total.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve this revised warrant to the delinquent tax collector for collection of delinquent water, sewer, and electric accounts. As presented.
I will second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
And congratulations, Gina, because I typed in there, Gina Martin.
Gina Martin.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I expect a nice gift.
Yes.
How'd that happen? Our JP just left.
Right. My husband might not be happy, but okay. All right, moving on. Mr. Nolan, Advanced Metering Infrastructure. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. You got good news for us, I hope.
Couple of documents. Well, just this conversation for tonight.
Yep.
Going to get things started. The recap of what we talked about before, and then an update on some of the numbers.
Thank you. I can handle it.
And then I'm good with numbers here. So I think the last time we talked about AMI, advanced metering.
She's done.
I told you that I didn't really have any decisions to make right off. Time has flown.
Yeah.
So we're now getting to the point where decisions do have to be made. Timeline is, we have Public Utility Commission approval to proceed for all of the member utilities. So even though at the time we were doing this, Jacksonville, Hardwick, and Barton had not made a decision yet, the application we filed requested for all 11. Figured it was easier to back out than to go back later and try to get approval.
Mm-hmm.
Since that time, Jacksonville has now signed on. Hardwick signed on about 2 months ago. So you're the last remaining. I have to notify the commission by April what the three utilities decided to do. So we're now to the point where between now and April, we need to get your final decision on which way you want to go. To start with, the one with the letterhead,
mm-hmm.
The very front page, just wanted to recap briefly for you what AMI is, what the benefits are. So if we start at the picture on the bottom, left-hand side, this is the overall system. You've got the electric meters, which now become computers, basically, on the side of people's houses. The system can do water meters. At the time we went for a grant with the state, the previous trustees did not want water included. They didn't want us to either, but they wouldn't give us any information on the water side, so we were not able to include water in your part of the project, at least initially.
Oh, I like the sounds of that.
At least initially.
So that means now we're good to go?
No.
Oh.
We have contingency in the project, and
okay.
We've been telling all the other utilities that if the contingency is any remaining at the end, we intend to move it over to see if you want to use it for water.
Okay.
I can't commit to that as I sit here.
Okay.
So the way the system works, you get the electric meters, water meters if you want them. They communicate back to collection points using a 400 megahertz radio frequency. That's a licensed frequency, so we've actually gone to the FCC and have a license for that. No one else can use it. You have these what they call data collection units, or DCUs, that are located throughout your territory on typically on electric poles. What we're finding is some of the members decided to install a pole right next to an existing electric pole just because they want the DCU on a separate, they don't want it intermingled with their lines and transformers. But they're made to go on the electric poles. Up to 2,500 meters can communicate with each collection unit. You typically are constrained by geography more than meter count. When we get to the numbers, I'll talk about in your situation. We're finding a lot of the members, like Hardwick has 40 of these units, so they're going to have 18 potentially. So it's really around the topography that you're dealing with more than the meter count, at least here. From the collection units, we're using internet-based, private internet connection back to the software package. If you have fiber available, then we can do fiber optic for these. In most cases, we're using cell phones. They can use AT&T, Verizon. And then we've got a few cases where they're having to look at like microwave technology or directional antennas, depending on how, when you get far away from anything, it can be a problem. So you're sending the data back over the internet to the software, and with a Claris system, it's one software package. Some of these meter systems have one piece of software to actually interact with the meters, control them, and then a separate software to store the data. A Claris does it all in one. So you're logging into one place to both see what's going on with the meter and to be able to interact with the information.
sort of the benefits of it. So with these meters installed, you're going to be getting reads from every meter every 15 minutes. And they can bring back what they call multiple channels. So you're going to be able to record kilowatt hour usage by a customer, also reactive power, K-bars they call it, that the customer's drawing. So if they have a motor or something that's not very efficient, you'll be able to see that. We've decided to configure them going in so that they also are recording kilowatt hours and K-bars put back onto the system. So every meter will be able to do net metering out of the box. Had a debate about that as to whether it was worth it or not. We decided it's easier to just have it there. If anybody puts a net metering project on, you automatically record it rather than have to reconfigure the meter. It also allows us, by doing that, we can calculate power factor on every house. So you can start to see where you're having problems on the distribution system. Each meter is going to record the voltage at that meter every 15 minutes. So if you get flicker complaints, if you get people having voltage problems, you'll be able to see the profile of your whole system as to where you may be having an issue.
What I think will be really a plus will be an outage. Like now, I believe the guys have to go and kind of like, okay, we've find where the tree is on the line or something like that, and it takes a lot of time to do that. Where this, you'll just look at the system and you'll go, nope, it's right there.
You'll know the location.
You'll know absolutely where
the
location.
It'll be quite that easy. It'll be a lot better.
Instead of driving a mile, let's drive a half a mile.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so each meter will send back outage notifications. And the powerful part of this is when you combine AMI with the geographic information system we've been working with your staff on, because we can link the meters to the map, and then you can start to see, well, when the meter sends back an outage, you literally can pull up the map and see, okay, here's the cluster of the cell. To Marilyn's point, if you see a cluster and it stops at a certain point,
yeah,
you can get an idea of where,
you know, where
it
to start.
What road?
Yeah. And if you have summer folk who are here and they're not around in the wintertime, you'll get notice. Even they don't have to be home. You'll get a notice of the power's out. And talking to John, I know you get a lot of calls where people have like remote control of the house and they'll get a notice. They think the power's out, but it might have been just a flicker and then the power's back on. Well, this system will let you actually ping the meter and tell whether power's on or not. So you don't actually have to roll a truck out there to verify.
Check on it.
You can use the software and tell what's going on.
Because that happens more than you would think. You know, they'll call it an outage, but they're not even at their house or anything. They're in Connecticut. This is their summer home. But they'll say, you know, the power's out, and they'll go there, and it's not.
Yeah, last week we had a wicked windy day. Wicked windy. Anyway, the power flicked. It wasn't even off 10 seconds. And I wondered if, so in that case, there's probably some summer homes along the lake that it might have affected them. And so, that makes sense.
They're having a notification on their phone wherever they are.
Yeah.
And think there's power up and call.
Yeah.
In this case, you can actually have the meter tell you whether it's lost power or not.
Yeah.
And it'll give you the same signal when you put power back on. It will send a notice saying it's repowered and everything's fine. If tamper notifications, so if somebody's pulling the meter out upside down or they're trying to bypass it, you'll get on a radio response that something's not right. It'll flag in the software. Remote disconnect and reconnect. So this is not, the commercial meters do not have that. Anything is three phase. You can't really have a remote disconnect, but all of your residential meters would have remote disconnect and reconnect. So if there's for non-payment or somebody's moving out or they're going to be gone for a period of time, you can open the breaker to the house right from the office. You don't have to go out visit the location. Already talked about the GIS. The other part of this is once we get the meters in and the GIS system filled out, then it's very easy then to give, if you have an engineering study done or a load flow analysis, so then we can give that information to the engineers. Typically right now they take the substation load and then they try to estimate, well, how does this spread across the system? Mm-hmm. Well, in this case, you'll actually be able to tell them at every location what the load shape of the customers are and get a lot more accurate results, and it saves you a lot of time where they have to build the models. It can save you hours on every study you do. Any questions on overall what it would accomplish?
The automatic reads, I think, would just be a huge cost savings in itself. Because right now we're paying for people to go out and read meters.
Correct. Yep. There's a whole, I don't know if they have it up here in the office, but a whole study that was done with each utility to show the cost savings. It was quite a bit. And I think Barton was quite a lot of cost savings to go to this measure of AMI.
Yeah, from our side, I mean, it helps with load forecasting. It helps with rate design, a lot of the stuff that Steve Farman's group does. Mm-hmm. Our side would be a lot less time building and a lot less estimating, having to buy data. Mm-hmm. We'd have all that at our fingertips. We're setting this up so that all the utilities are in the same database, so you each have access to your data. Everybody would be segregated off. But by setting it up that way, VEPSA actually has an overarching, so we can do studies on the whole membership, do load forecasts and everything on the group combined. One of the things we're looking at is, can we repurpose one of the staff members to be more of a data scientist. So we're doing analytics ahead of time and looking at what's happening on the system so we can give advance notice, preventive maintenance, things like that we could help with.
And on the customer side, what are the benefits?
So the customers are going to be able to see their usage. They'll be able to track. Although, I mean, I've had that with Green Mountain Power. I got to be honest, I looked at it twice, and then I haven't mm-hmm. been back in 2 years. But if they have questions about high bill complaints, your staff's going to be able to go in. If somebody's calling with questions about their bill, you'll be able to see exactly what the load shape was. I've had cases before where people, you know, had a hot tub and they didn't realize somebody was using it. you know, they left for the winter and didn't shut something off. That becomes pretty evident when you're looking at the actual shape of it.
Or they might realize how much something costs that they are doing, you know, from 5 to 7, I don't know, at night.
Yeah.
As far as power, and they just had no idea that it used that much power. I mean, I don't know what it would be.
Or they added
the hot tub would be the hot tub.
But. Right, or they added a fifth freezer because they're all a family of hunters. And
right, and you'd say, oh, I bought it on this day, so you'd be able
to
say.
Too much laundry from 5 to 7.
Yeah, or something. So.
We've had cases where, you know, people have family over for Thanksgiving holiday, say, and then the next month the bill is high. Mm-hmm. They're calling and saying, well, you can see the jump on a few days when people were there. It helps the conversation as you're trying to talk people through.
Right.
And so how it works, from what I understand, is it all goes to Aclara, and then the billing system just takes the one read that you want to bill with, that one file, and it brings it into the billing system, and it bills out that reading. So you'll have them on Aclara every 15 minutes. You'll have readings and how everything's working. And then to bill out the monthly bill, you'll just be grabbing one file at a specific time and date of readings. Like you'll say, I want it to read now, and you'll pull that file out of Aclara into your billing system. And then it will bill from your billing system.
So will this talk to any and all billing systems,
yes,
including the one we're going to?
Yes.
It's an integration step that we go through.
Yes.
Okay.
Because we're in that we're in that phase where they're developing the connection between Aclara and El Dorado.
Okay.
So that they can talk to each other.
So. Yeah, we've got across 11 members, there are 8 different billing systems that we have to deal with.
Oh.
boy.
Wow.
We're very excited that there are four of you going to El Dorado, so that'll be one. Berlin's will be the guinea pig on that.
Oh, good.
And once we get that up and running, then it should, the rest should be small tweaks to be the way you do things.
Yeah.
But it will mostly be done. And as Marilyn said, the way this works is the data comes from the meters back to the software. Every time that it sends the data back, you get the 15-minute readings. You also get what they call a register read. So it's the total of how much was used from last reading to the next reading. Okay. When you go to do your billing, your El Dorado software would tell Aclara, I want the usage from this hour to this hour. And it's only going to send you the information you need to actually produce the bills. Inside the software itself, it'll keep the 15 minutes and the customer can see it, you can see it. But it's only going to process what you need.
That monthly read, basically.
Yeah, right? the very specific information you need to get a bill out the door. Mm-hmm. So that's that on the back end. Once the meters are installed and everything stood up, the last things we do is the integration with the billing system. So we've hired consultants to come and help with that.
Is there different disconnect rules, though, if it is so accessible to be able to disconnect somebody, like, remotely? So let's say you disconnect them, and do you have to put them on faster if they pay faster? Or how does that go?
The PUC is wrestling with this right now.
Okay.
They have been for 2 years now. There's still a requirement that you make contact with the customer before you disconnect them. So mm-hmm. You have to notify them it's going to happen. You actually have to talk to them or go and put a note on the door if you can't get a hold of them. And it can affect your ability to collect like a reconnect fee. Okay. Because now you don't have to send a truck. And it's normally... The reconnect fee is based around your cost that you're incurring to turn the person back on. Mm-hmm. And since you're not sending anybody, most of that fee goes away.
Okay. Yeah, because you're just pushing a button or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. So that's something we'll have to go through the PUC on the back end because it means amending your terms and conditions and your tariffs.
So what happens if I'm notified? And I go to the village and I pay, then I'm off that list, right? There's nobody going to shut me down.
If we pulled your meter, and then you come in and you pay some, we have, within 24 hours, we have to put your meter back in.
Like today.
Right, but when you say pull it, it's just you're not going to the house and removing.
Yes, we're going to the house and pulling it and putting a sleeve or something on it so you do not have power. In Orleans, we actually go, we pull the meter out and put a cap on it.
And that's what, I thought that's what this was going to re-
Yes, right. That won't happen.
That won't happen. Right. Well, it'll all be done on the system. We're shutting Jacqueline off because she didn't pay.
Right.
Done.
Right.
Yeah.
So what happens is usually there's a disconnect notice that goes out. And if the customer doesn't pay once they get the disconnect notice, then today, utility sends a meter reader out, pull the meter, they put a rubber boot behind it, put it back in, but you don't have any power until you pay your bill. Then they have to go back out, remove the rubber boot, put the meter back in. Under this, you would get the disconnect notice. If the utility wants to do the disconnect remotely, there's an added requirement that they actually speak with someone in the home and say, we're going to shut your power off. Once they've had that conversation, it's literally push a button in the software and it opens a breaker in the meter. And then when the customer comes in and pays, same thing, you push the button and it reconnects the house up. You don't actually physically have to send somebody out. So
there's no like server update or anything like that. It just, wow.
Yeah.
That's
good. So it will depend on when the customer pays. You know, when I was in Burlington, we had cases, the customer would come in at 5:30 as you're closing the door, pay, and they want their power back on in 10 minutes. It's, no, you're going to get it in the morning.
That's what I was wondering, if the time had changed, because in theory, I think you have 24 hours. The meter has to be put back in once they've paid, but I didn't know if that timeline was going to change to 12 hours because of the ability to do it in-house.
Yeah. Nothing has changed that I'm aware of.
Okay.
The fees have been the fee. A lot of the conversation around the fees. Haven't heard anything about changing the timeline.
Okay.
Backside, give me an update on kind of where we are. So we've signed the contracts with the Claire. Everything's locked in. The $5 million grant that we got from the legislature, that was handed to the DPS, which now is handed to us. We've signed that grant agreement, and it's in process. So that $5 million has been earmarked for VEPSA, and within our project, it's also earmarked to each utility specifically based on your projected cost, which I can talk about in a second. We've hired a couple of consultants to help us with the project management. So Alan Stamp, who does a lot of project work for Velco, he has helped us on a couple other, on the GIS project and some others. So he's now our project manager. He's dealing with Aclara directly, trying to move things forward. And Jackie Lemaher out of Massachusetts, she was a consultant that Marilyn mentioned, who came in and did an assessment of each utility. We've now hired her to help us with the integrations. So she's working with each of the utilities on marrying up Aclara with whoever your billing system is. Make sure that the data gets handed off properly. We have our FCC license, which was a little bit of a lift, primarily because of Swanton and Enosburg, who are right on the Canadian borders. We had to deal with both the U.S. and Canada to get the approval of license, but that's done. Meter configurations were set a couple of months ago. That was a pretty lengthy process because we wanted all the utilities to essentially agree to one configuration that we could be consistent across all the members. One of the big changes with these meters is they now have a security key built into them. So you can't, like today, you could call up Vision Metering or call up Green Mountain Power, I need a meter, can you send it over? Once you go to AMI, each meter has to be able to communicate with the network. So a VEC meter won't work in the VEPSA territory. So we wanted to make sure that all of the 11 utilities could swap meters. We still had an ability to swap around if people needed replacements or something. The first thing that happens once you set the configuration is they have what they call first article test meters. So they produce one box of each type of meter and send it to us. So we have to test it, prove it, sign in blood, saying, yes, this was built the way we want it built. And then once you sign off on these first article meters, then they go to production. And they'll do the 30,000 that we need. So those meters have been ordered. We're expecting them in December. The data collection units for the first tranche, as we call it, the first four utilities, is being confirmed. Swanton has already been ordered. The next three, which is Orleans, Northfield, and Enosburg, we're supposed to go in the next week or so. Those will be coming over the course of the winter. Swanton's are due in December. We started the customer information system integration, so the billing system integration that started in Swanton as well. We're hopeful that we can get the requirements down with them and then essentially cookie cutter it for everybody else. You have to change the terminology to meet each vendor's language, but the requirements are going to be pretty much the same from one to the next. Then the last thing we're working on now is public outreach. This was a big deal for the Public Service Department and the Public Utility Commission. They want us to go through a whole process of meeting with local stakeholder groups, doing flyers ahead of time. So it's almost like a funnel. We're going to do a lot of flyers, a lot of communication, just in general news articles, down to bill stuffers, meet with local groups. If you'll be asked to identify, are there any local community, like Rotary or Senior Center or something like that you want us to talk to? And then culminating when you actually start to put the meters in, we go through a process, pretty standard process, to notify customers, okay, your house is going to be changed on this date, you know, a week or so ahead of time. Because you have to give them an opportunity to contact you and opt out. You can't force a customer to take the meter if they don't want it.
Oh, really?
Under Vermont law, this is only here. No other states don't do this. But here, if a customer chooses they don't want the meter, then they have a right to keep their existing one.
So you would have some on this AMI, and you'd have some not.
Some not. Typically, the other utilities that have done this, it's about a 2% on average opt-out rate.
I was just going to say, how many?
Yeah. For you guys, you know, you're talking 20, 30 customers probably, if you go by the average, that wouldn't want the AMI meters.
So how would that wouldn't mess up the system? They would just still, they would continue on like they do now, so you would still have to have somebody go out and read their meters and rely on them to call if they had an outage?
The customer wouldn't have to call. That's part of what they would be signing up for. And you'll still have to do those readings, which what we find is utilities typically go on where we're going to read you once a quarter or something. We're going to estimate 2 months and then read a third month. So you're sending a person out one day every couple of months to read the meters. It's normally how it gets played out. And that's a trade-off for the customer, right? For a lot of folks, it's privacy, or they don't like RF radio signals. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to tell people when you talk on your cell phone. It's RF.
Right.
It's worse than meters. But some people don't like that. Some people are concerned about privacy. So there are folks who won't take the meter. And under Vermont statute, you have to allow them to do that. What I found is, if you talk to GMP or BED in particular, they started out at a 4%. Opt-out rate back in 2009, 2010 when they did it, and it's been dropping way off over time. People are getting used to it. They have a policy when people move out, they go out and they change the meter, and they force the next person to opt out again.
What is the rate that these meters, their life expectancy, like, is it 15 years?
That's what we're assuming, yeah.
You know what the current ones are?
Well, the mechanical meters you have now, I'm sure you could go out and find some that are 50 years old out there.
They're probably not working, right?
I'm just going to say.
The question becomes, are they reading accurately? Because they tend to slow down over time. Where these are electronic, they'll be accurate readings, but it's a computer. It won't last a certain amount of time.
And that would be something that you would have a plan. I mean, you wouldn't go out and do all 2,200 meters. Hopefully you would stay, you know, stagger them so that you're changing some.
And you're going to have a failure rate over time. I mean, expect them to last 15. I know the utilities that installed with the ARRA money, they're up to 12, 13 years now, and they're seeing like a 5% breakage rate. So.
Okay.
There'll be some you're changing over time.
Okay, yep.
Is that the cost to the customer or the town or the village?
To replace a meter.
Typically, the customer pays when they buy the first meter, when they're building a house or adding an account. And then from then on, the meter replacement is a utility expense.
Okay.
So where we are with you is I have to report to the PUC by April of next year with what the final decision is. We'd be looking at, if you do decide to go forward, you'd be in our third group. So we're doing four utilities, then the final three. Timeline right now looks like end of next year, first part of 2026 would be when we start to roll out equipment here. And as I said, the water meters, I wasn't able to convince your predecessors to put it in, so now we're trying to figure out how do we move money around. And that's, to be honest, unless we can find savings in some of the utility, I don't know how we would add water to what you've got. We can always look for other grant money, but with the grant we have now, it's not included.
Now, is that, if we did, so those utilities that are using both for electric and water, is that one meter for both? It's two separate meters.
You still have your water meter.
Okay.
There's an electric, like a cap that goes on the water meter that will communicate with the AMI system.
Okay.
So you don't have to replace the water meter. So we'd want to verify that the meter you use can work with the electric communications. Yep. Most of them do. I haven't found one yet that hasn't. All you really need is that cap that goes on top, and that will communicate with the AMI system. A lot of utilities are saying, hey, I got a 50% grant. I want to replace my water meters at the same time. So some of them are turning into that into a big project. Going through replacing every water meter is not a small endeavor.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking we wouldn't know about the water meter grant availability until like 2027?
We'll have a good idea from the first four utilities mid next year.
Okay.
And I think that'll give us, you know, how the first four go